Welcome back. This is Jennifer. This is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, and we are going through the book of Ephesians. So I'm glad that you're with me. And we're going to be reading through Ephesians all the way straight through today. So I'm glad that you're with me for that. This is the fourth time we will have read through all of Ephesians with a slightly different focus and way of digging into the scripture each time. I trust that this is a way that you've grown to love and connect with the scripture better. It helps us to understand it. And so today we're going to be reading through it for the fourth time. Next week is our final week in the Ephesians study. So, are you ready? Let's get started. Grab your Bibles. This morning I'll be reading out of Ephesians. Of course I will. I'll be reading out of the English Standard Version. And by the way, welcome back to my home. If you've been with me for the last week, you know that we were traveling in Utah, and we are now back home. Got back home late last night. So it's nice to be home and broadcasting from my fairly usual, although I shook it up a bit before I left, back to my regular spot here. And it's nice to be with you. I'm glad you're here. So let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer, and we'll get started with our read through this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word. And so we want to come before you today in gratitude for it and just the community that it created for us to have with you, to know you better, to understand you, to know ourselves and understand us better. As we come to your word this morning, thank you for its power, its truth, its light. And I ask, Father, that you would help us each read through your word today with new eyes and a new heart and a mind free from distraction of anything else that could possibly be going on. That we would just come before you this morning and lay our burdens at your feet, release them into your careful, loving hands. We thank you and we praise you once again for your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's do this. We've got the podcast going. If you're not already subscribed to the podcast, do me a favor, go over there today and just click on the Dwelling Richly podcast. You can find that on any podcasting app. Like I use Podbean. I also use Pocket Cast for a variety of other podcasts that I follow. But you can find Dwelling Richly Bible Study on iTunes also. Or you can just go straight to dwellingrichly.podbean.com and subscribe there. But go over to the podcast today and say hi and subscribe to that. And then share that with your friends. It's a great way to travel and listen to fabulous teachers. I listen to Alistair Begg and Ravi Zacharias as two of my favorites. So many others, but those are two that come to my mind right now. You can grab all sorts of podcasts on a variety of topics, not just spiritual things, but things about homeschooling, topics about essential oils, topics about teaching, topics about the news. There's a lot. So anyway, enjoy podcasting. It's a great way to feel like you're constantly nourishing your brain. And so ours is Dwelling Richly. So go to a podcast app and find that today. And then go to YouTube. And on YouTube, I share the videos on the Jennifer Richmond, my YouTube channel. So go over to there. And you know what? I almost forgot to click the record button in the cloud. Facebook is not always faithful. And so let me start over just a little bit for the recording. Welcome, this is Jennifer Richmond, the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, and today we're reading through Ephesians all the way straight through. This is our fourth read through. Welcome everybody on the podcast and on the Facebook Live also. And we're going to get started here in just a minute. If you haven't already subscribed to the podcast or to our channel on YouTube, please do that today and also, of course, on Facebook. So thank you for doing that and sharing and liking and connecting with us in that way. And I listen to your comments as you share them with me. I read them and I reply back. So I'd love to hear your comments, your thoughts, especially any questions that you have as you're going through the Word of God and you want more clarity. If there's anything that I can do to help you with that, I don't have all the answers, but I love to engage and I love that community that we have in doing that. So please feel free to join me in doing that. And then always share the Facebook and the YouTube or the podcast, wherever you're listening from. Just tell people you're listening. This is such a simple way to get the word out, encourage other people. So today we're reading through Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to get my Bible. We're ready to go here. Get my water. And we are ready to go. We've prayed and opened up the Word of God, and we're going to dig right in. So let's go ahead and do that. So day one. And you need to download your Bible study. So go to the La Mirada Christian Church website and go to the Women's Ministry Bible Study page. Then scroll down, just real easy. Scroll down, click for Ephesians. It'll open right up. You can read it straight off your computer. If you want to, you can also just print it like I have. It's nice to have where you can handwrite your answers in. And then it'll engage with you on, you know, what I'm going through, asking questions and things like that, giving you the intro. Okay, here we go. Day one, here we go. Read and taking notes through Ephesians. The first day in each week of this study is designed, dedicated to a straight read through of the entire book. Today is the beginning of week four, and so it's our fourth reading of Ephesians. It's been very eye-opening. Each time, pray before you read, ask God that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened to know the hope, the riches, the power of God as revealed in His Word. Using the prompts in the following active reading notes section to help you move through the book. Finally, before you read, pray that God would open the eyes of your heart to see clearly the wonders in His Word, and that He would give you wisdom to grasp and apply what you're reading. So, reminder that the questions and the prompts in this Bible study are based on the English Standard Version Bible. That's simply to keep us all on the same wavelength, in a sense. There's other great versions I enjoy reading from: New American Standard, the 1984 New International Version, are two of the others that I use as well. But for this study, we're just going to keep all on the same page, in a sense, and read from the English Standard Version. So let's go ahead and preview the active reading notes. We always read those through before, so we know where we're going in terms of our focus through this read-through. So first of all, circle or highlight in your Bible any connecting words or phrases as you read. These are important signal words that link one sentence or paragraph with another. More importantly, they connect thoughts and themes. So look for therefore, or but, or as a result, or so that, for, however, etc. Circle those as you're reading. Highlight those as you're reading. Make note of those. That's going to come up later on in our study, so be sure to begin your study by doing that today, all right? Number two, after reading chapters 1-3, pause and summarize how Paul explains our relationship to God. What aspect of our Christian walk does he emphasize? And number three, after reading chapters 4-6, pause and summarize the aspects of the Christian walk that Paul emphasizes. Go through there. And then select your memory verse. And since this is chapter 4, we're going to focus on a memory verse from chapter 4. Are you ready? All right. So we'll pause after we read chapter 3 to give a quick summary of that. And then we'll move on through 4-6 after I get some water, of course, too. And don't forget, grab your highlighter. As I'm reading, I want you to be going through and just as you go, just mark any of those words that are connecting words. And I'll try to kind of point them out to you as well as I'm reading out loud. All right, here we go. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. For this reason, highlight that. Circle that, mark that. There's a transition, all right? A word that connects one thought to the other. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God, Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the work of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and power, all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And that concludes the reading of chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. Oh, keep on getting little sleepies in my eyes this morning. Thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and preached peace to those who were near. For through him we have access in the one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And that concludes chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 3. And here's your another connecting word. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which has not been made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the gospel in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he had realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. All right, well, that wraps up reading through chapter 3, 1 through 3. So let's go back and pause and see if we can kind of pull together the concept that Paul is getting to, because Ephesians is a real big split, right? 1 through 3 and 4, 5, 6. And be mindful that when Paul wrote this, it was a letter. So he didn't chapter it and verse it out. He just wrote the letter. But there's a clear split between this first portion, this first half of his letter, and the second half, what we call 1 through 3 and 4, 5, 6. Nicely done splitting it in half like that. But can you wrap it all up and share, write down what you see as a summary focus of 1 through 3? What's his premise? What is he setting up? Because we're going to move through 4, 5, 6 in just a minute, and we're going to see that everything he's set up in 1 through 3 has its move into 4, 5, 6, the second half. All right. So when I read through the first, I really see Paul expressing this foundational relationship, this new relationship that has been established because of Christ, right? And the focus is on the inner man, the spiritual man, the spiritual person, us as a spiritual person, the inside, who we were versus who we are now in terms of our identity. And that our identity is found in Christ, not in us, not in anything that we've done, lest we boast, right? But it's been found in Christ, that without Christ, we are destitute, without hope, without God. So I see an important centralizing verse that we are fellow members, fellow partakers, fellow heirs, and he wants us to really understand the glory of that, the beauty of that, the amazing unity that comes from no longer thinking of the us and the them between mankind, but also there's no us and them between us and God either. Why? Because we have access with confidence through Christ Jesus. So that's a long summary, but that's the focus. We want to really think about the foundational doctrine that's set up in 1 through 3, the truth of who God is, the truth of who we are. That's the doctrine of it. And then we'll move forward and see the practical application of that. So as you're reading chapter 4, we're going to continue with a bit of setup, and then we're going to do a real strong practical application for the remainder of this book. All right, let's continue reading on 4, 5, and 6, and then we'll come back and summarize these three chapters as well. Chapter 4. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Do you catch that as the beginning transition? He's got this calling. He's 1 through 3, this beginning of the chapter of the book. He's got this calling to which we've been called, and so it's a high calling, so we should walk in a worthy way to that calling. It's all about the inner. It's all about that foundational truth, the doctrine. And now we're going to move forward. So for I therefore, there's a big transition. Now we move into chapter 4, the second half of the book. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Remember, that's the unity he was talking about all throughout chapters 1, 2, and 3. The unity of the Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also had descended into the lower regions of the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, this I say and testify. Another transition, write that down. This I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way that you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, not only as is good for building up as fits the occasion, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that he may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So that wraps up chapter 4, moving on to chapter 5. Therefore, there's another transition. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and pure. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of what is of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit to in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them. Stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, there's your transition word again, as a result of everything we've just read, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can distinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. End of chapter 4, and the end of reading of all of Ephesians, again for the fourth time. So congratulations, those of you who've been here with us since the beginning. Well done. All right, well, let's take a look now at 4 through 6. Are you feeling a different feel? Are you feeling that transition from Paul establishing the doctrine to now moving forward into the duties of what it looks like to be a believer? So based on who you are in Christ, your identity as fellow heirs, members, partakers, that you are one in this unity, no longer Jew and Gentile, Paul moves forward and says, okay, this is what it looks like then as a church, as a people, to function together, and how we're to engage with the world, and to be mindful of the spiritual forces around us. So this is our focus on relationships with one another and with the world in chapter 4. Key verses here are abundant. You have so much to pick from to memorize any of these verses from chapter 4. So go back through that. Read chapter 4 again. That's our focus for this next 4 days. Read chapter 4 again and pray about a verse that you can commit to memory. All right. God bless you. It's really great to be with you back at my own home here in Hacienda Heights. And once again, I want you to know that as I see your name come up on the comments, that you've even just checked in on Facebook to watch the live, I want you to know that you're loved and that you are prayed for. And I pray specifically for you when I see you there by name. So if you need prayer in a more specific way, you can email me, jennifer@lamoradachurch.com. Excuse me. And I'd be happy to pray for you. I would look forward to that, actually. So feel free to do that today. And I look forward to being back here with you tomorrow morning as we dig into chapter 4. Oh, before I go, I want you to know that our church is going through a series called Super Church. And it's being led by our teaching pastors, Shane and Jay. Shane Womack and Jay Mahan. And Shane will be kicking off the first big chunk of Ephesians as we move through this book together. We're going to take several weeks. It's going to take us all the way through the new year to get through Ephesians together as a church. And those of you who have been with us in the Bible study, you've got this big foundation now to bring you to church on Sunday to hear the message and have so much richness of your own personal study to bring to the table. You'll find that you understand it even better. All right? So, Shane just did chapter 1, verses 1 through 14 on Sunday. And I forget which chunk he's doing, but it's the rest of chapter 1, I believe, next Sunday. So go back to your Bible study, reread your notes, go back to chapter 1 and be prepared for that. And it's just a deeper way to engage when you already know what the church is going to be studying from the pulpit on a Sunday. And those of you who don't attend our church, whatever home church you're in, I would encourage you to do the same. We have several Bible studies available through Dwelling Richly on the La Mirada Church website that you could, if your church was studying it, you could go through that Bible study on your own before your church begins and come to the table with your own due diligence, basically. You've done some work through it. And so when your pastor preaches on it, you'll have even a more rich experience, right? So we have 1st and 2nd Peter available for you. We have many of the Psalms available for you throughout all the different studies that I've done with you. We have the entire Gospel of Luke, a 28-chapter study, extremely robust study, digging even deeper than this study has done. We have James, did I mention James? And then coming up, well, that is yet to come. I'm going to announce the big study coming up for this fall. That'll kick off. If you're following us on Instagram, you saw my teaser for that yesterday. I'll do another teaser for you today and tomorrow. And then the big reveal is on Wednesday, what our new theme for the whole year at LMCC Women is going to be. And so follow us on Facebook and on Instagram so you can make sure you stay up to date on that. And that's LMCC Women. It's called our Faith and Fellowship Women's Ministry. So jump in on that, get to know us there, and then find out what the new Dwelling Richly Bible study is. I'm really excited to reveal that to you this coming Wednesday. And some of you probably already know a little bit, but you're going to get the theme for a whole year announced this Wednesday. And nobody knows that except for my husband and two of my dear friends. So, all right. So, God bless you. It's great to be with you today. I look forward to seeing you on Facebook or Instagram, YouTube, wherever, or hopefully even in person. For now, you know that you are loved and prayed for, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning's Bible study. Bye-bye.